Please turn to page 12 of the handout, which is continuing. We really got bogged down at Matthew 24, where it says, when you see the abomination, therefore, you know, Matthew 24:15, Mark 13:14, and Luke 17:31, which and on, that are all talking about the most momentous, most significant time stamp of history, which is going to be when the Antichrist, 3.5 years into the tribulation period, commits the abomination desolation. And what that does, at that moment that he does that, it plunges the world into the great tribulation, the bold capital T tribulation. And there's all kinds of things the Bible talks about that occur when that happens. You know, we covered last week, we covered what Daniel 12 says. Today we're going to cover what Revelation 12 says about that time, because we can see in Revelation 12 when, how that piece of prophetic information fits in. So Revelation 12 starts out by explaining this vision that ties in with the dream of Joseph, and we're not going to cover all that. So I just have the translation or the interpretation of this section of scripture based on the first few verses tied to Joseph when we say in Revelation 12:13, now when the dragon Satan saw that he had been cast to the earth, because he's lost a battle in heaven between Daniel, between Michael the archangel. The Michael the archangel and his angels, and the devil and his angels had a big fight in heaven. And it really, it's kind of incredible to put your head around that, to think that the creator of the universe created this being Satan that is going to have an angelic battle with the angels of God and the Michael the archangel, and there's going to be some kind of galactic, you know, angelic battle in which Satan will at that point never be allowed to be in the presence of God again or in heaven. Because right now he accuses us before God daily, it says in scriptures. And he's going to be cast down. And so that he was cast to the earth. He persecuted the woman, and those verses about the battle are also Revelation 12 earlier on. He persecuted the woman, which is Israel, based on the earlier verses, who gave birth to the male child. Did the nation of Israel, is that the one that birthed the Messiah, Jesus? And so he attempts to persecute Israel by Satan possessing the Antichrist at that time. Because when the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel occurs, then the Jews need to get out of Jerusalem right away. Because as we saw, he's going to be wounded. The Antichrist is going to be wounded in the head. Revelation 13, he's going to come back alive. Who can make war against him? And he's going to go after God's people, the Jews and Christians, we're going to see. But the woman, Israel, was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place. Now, who does that apply to? Let's try it. For those who have been going through this study, who does this apply to? To all Jews?
The saved Jews.
Huh? The saved Jews. And who are the saved Jews? Who are the Jews that are going to be given two wings of an eagle that they might get into the wilderness? The ones who don't get anything out of their house. As soon as they see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, then get out. Don't go into your house. Don't get anything. Pray that the flight won't be, you know, the departure, the running away, the bugging out. You know, have your grab bag, have your bug out bag, and your bug out location is the wilderness, and you go right now. You already have it with you. Don't go into the house to get it. You've got to get out right then. And so, and where they're headed, people say the rock city of Petra and Jordan. But it's the wilderness in context is going to be over in Basra in Jordan. It's going to be on the other side of the Dead Sea and the river, Jordan River. It's going to be over on the east side in the wilderness is where they're headed. Where she is nourished for a time, times and half a time. What's that? 3.5 years. That's Daniel uses that terminology. And Daniel has two things he says, time and a half, and then the number of days. So we know it's 3.5 years from the presence of the serpent, from the presence of Satan. So the serpent spewed water out of its mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. Now, we don't know exactly what this means. It could be literally he's going to, under the powers of Satan, who is able to do great signs and wonders, is going to be able to do something, and maybe somehow he's sending a flood. Is there any time in the Bible where the water all of a sudden just came and took out troops? Yes. Now, I can't give you chapter and verse right now, but in the Kings, there was a time where the water just came and wiped out. And so somehow Satan is going to either send water, or some people think it's a flood of troops. He's going to send his first batch of troops to just go after him. Just go get those guys, just like Pharaoh tried to go get the Jews that were fleeing. And God, and then it says that he might cause her, Israel, to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon has spewed out of his mouth. And imagine that. And there again, the Jews will again be leaving Pharaoh of the day. They'll be realizing, okay, that guy we thought that was the Messiah, he's not. We left because Jesus, the prophet, the Jewish prophet Jesus told us 2,000 years ago that when we see this happening, that we need to get out of here. The 144,000, we're probably telling Jews, don't be thinking that Messiah is going to be staying the Messiah. He's going to change. And so they listen to the word of God and they respond on that day that it happens. And the ones that get out, they get going and they'll see something from the Antichrist coming to get them, and God will open up the earth and swallow it up, whatever it is. That'll be quite the day. And the dragon was enraged with the woman because the devil couldn't accomplish his goal again of wiping out the Jews. And he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God. So now he can't make war with the ones that fled. They are now protected for the last 3.5 years. Nothing can touch them. The ones that listen to Jesus, the Jews that listen to Jesus, and they fled, nothing touches them during the Great Tribulation. Satan can't get them. But who can he get? He can get the ones that didn't run. He can go after the ones that didn't listen to Jesus. And so all of a sudden he's going to turn, instead of being the Messiah that the Jews were thinking was their good guy, he's going to turn on them. He's going to go after her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have a testimony of Jesus Christ. He's going to go after Gentile Christians, people who had become tribulation saints, people in the surrounding nations that missed the rapture, but through the teaching of 144,000, the two witnesses, the things that are going on, reading Bibles you left behind for them, reading tracts you left behind for them, they're going to become tribulation saints, and the Antichrist is going to single out. It's not going to be whether you got the jab or not. It's going to be whether or not you're a Jew or a Christian. If you're a person that loves Jesus during the tribulation period, or you're a Jew, you're dead. That'll be the full court press of the Antichrist. And so that's something else that is happening. And then go to, and then back on our notes, let's go to chapter, or page 13. And you'll see in your notes, we're still covering Matthew. Look over at Matthew 24, 23 through 27. It says on the left side of the page, it says, and if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, and he's saying, see, I'm telling you, this Antichrist is not going to be the one. And if somebody says, he's there, he's given us the ability to build our temple and everything. And Jesus is going, no. Verse 27, for as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. So there will be people during the tribulation period, Jews, they're going to say, he's our Messiah. Others will sit there and say, no. Did you see the lightning flash? Did this Antichrist that they're going to think is their Messiah, did he come as lightning flashing from one side of the sky to the other? No, he raised up through the global government. And so they're going to say, see, right there, prophet Jesus says that's not him, because Jesus is coming like the lightning flashing from the east to the west. And then verse 28, it says, for wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. if you go after this guy and you don't listen to Jesus' warning about getting out of Jerusalem as soon as you see the abomination of desolation, then you're going to die. And wherever the eagles are gathered, wherever the carcass is, your dead carcass, there the eagles will be gathered. Now, it's not perfectly clear in verse 28 about that, but let's go to Luke. And we covered this when we're in Luke 17, so we're still in Luke 17, where it says, for as lightning, verse 24, because Luke 17 is a parallel to the Olivet Discourse of Luke 21, for as the lightning that flashes out of one part of heaven and shines to the other part of under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day revealed. In that day, he was in the housetop, and his goods are in his house. Let him not come down. So emphasizing that moment is so important. Remember Lot's eye, verse 33, whoever tries to save his life, if you think you're going to hold on to the goods in your house and what you have, you're going to lose it. And then this is the important part. Luke makes it very clear to parallel passage with Matthew. It says, verse 34, I tell you in the that night, there will be two men in one bed, and one will be taken, the other will be left. Two women will be grinding together, the one will be taken, the other left. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. And they answered and said to him, where, Lord, where are these people going? So he said to them, wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together. They're going into a body pile. Now, for years, when I was first a Christian, and we emphasized this when we did chapter 17, we were redoing chapter 17, but I emphasized then, this has been a major rapture verse. They made songs. One will be taken, one will be left. But I think this is God saying that if you don't listen to Jesus and you don't get out, you don't get be protected from the demonic onslaught of the Antichrist by him opening up the ground, then the Antichrist is going to go, okay, God, you got them, but I'm going to get these. And I'm going to send my troops out, and I say, wherever you go, what, take one, leave one, take one, leave one. Just grab one, and they die. Just like coming off of the trains in Auschwitz, and the Germans were there and say, you go this way, you go this way, you go this way, you go this way. This one was to the showers, which meant the gas chambers, and then off to the furnaces. This one was, work will set you free. And which never set them free. It's just they died there too, but it took longer. And so he will do the same thing. He's not going to kill them all. He's going to he's going to say 50% of them all die. And, well, where are they going, God? Well, they're going to die. And the Bible says, Zechariah 13, 8 through 9, teaches that only a third of the Jews are going to survive the time of Jacob's trouble. And half of them are dying in this. If I'm understanding things correctly, half of them are dying at this time. So, and then I say in the paragraph there above the last set of verses of page 14, Jesus' teaching about as in the days of Noah also fits into this time frame. As we covered a couple of weeks ago, or last week, the Jews are going to be thinking everything is great right up until the moment the Antichrist commits the abomination of desolation. They will be living the dream life. We are sacrificing again. We have our temple that we're protected by the global government from our enemies that can never raise their head against us again. They will be thinking it's like the days of Noah didn't rain, and the day the Antichrist commits the abomination, it doesn't just rain, it pours, it becomes a disaster for the Jews. And Jesus warned them about all that. So, let's turn to Luke chapter 21, verse 25, bottom of page 14. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. And on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Jesus is referring to the very last of the last days, the very end of the tribulation period. Men's hearts failing them from fear and expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because redemption draws near. Now, as I said earlier, almost all of the Olivet Discourse is speaking to the people that will be living in the tribulation. It is not speaking to the church. But there are little nuggets that are speaking to the church. And I think verse 28 is, when we see these things begin to happen or begin to be able to happen, when we see the ability for the things of the tribulation period to occur, then look up your heads because your redemption is drawing nigh. Do you think we should be looking up? Yeah. I hope that God will give me a little grace here. I was having to change the batteries in the fire detector in the office, and Louise was going, you know, are you having trouble with your neck? Because I do it like this instead of just to my neck. I go, yeah, it's hard for my neck to go up. So God forgive me. It's hard for me to look up. In fact, I have to literally to want to look up in the stars and the moon if I'm outside. I have to get in a chair and just lean back to just enjoy the heavens. But we should be realizing Jesus must be coming soon. Our redemption, we've already been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's happened. We've been purchased back, but we're still kind of enslaved in this world. And the day is coming where all of the enslavement is totally replaced by the redemption of Jesus, who takes us to be bodily in his presence. But I wanted to emphasize, and this is shown on page 15, I'm not going to get into the blood moon thing because, you know, those millions of dollars worth of books have been written and now should be thrown away because it was all a bunch of garbage by the people that wrote it. And I did feel bad for Mark Bills because I think he was the first one to actually research it. He shared it with John Hagee. And then John Hagee came out with a book first, and then Mark Bills had to come out with a book. Which reminds me of Ecclesiastes. What do the last verses of Ecclesiastes say? This is the sum of the matter of the writing of books. There is no end. But this is the thing that's important. Fear God. Keep his commandments. And you know, there's so, you know, just amazing to me. So many people thought, okay, the blood moons are coming. This is it. And then when it doesn't happen, because it's not in context with the scriptures, it could not have been the blood moons, because they are not a global phenomenon. When Jesus says there will be this global signs in the heavens and all these things happen, it's not going to be a little eclipse that happens in certain places, very short period of time on the earth. But let's speculate on some of the things that God was saying here. It says, there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity and the seas and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for the fear and expectation of those things coming on the earth. Now, what would make men's hearts fail them of the fear and expectation of those things coming upon the earth? I'm thinking it's going to be billions of dollars being spent by all the nations of the world combined to try and find an asteroid that's got our name on it. Because they realize, if we get hit by an asteroid, and it's going to be really bad. Well, let's say they do find it, and they let people know it's coming. And this is the news. I gave you two handouts. I have the handouts in the notes here that are outdated. Because this is a September 23rd article in the JerusalemPost.com, where the title is 747 sized asteroid skimmed by Earth and scientists didn't even see it coming. It came less than a month ago, September 16th. And it was half the distance between the Earth and the Moon. And the reason that they didn't see it is because it came from the sun. So this, you know, the different telescopes and everything can't look into the sun to see something. And so a 747 at the speed that it was, a 747 size asteroid, average diameter 68 meters. So that's like wrap a ball that's almost the size of a football field. You know, so the diameter is almost the size of a football field, was hurling towards our Earth last month, half the distance between the moon and the Earth. And, that would have done some damage. And if you look at your handout, one that was much smaller than that, on the second page, I didn't put the page numbers on, sorry about that. For comparison, the last known significant asteroid impact was on February 15, 2013. How do you remember that? The one that hit over in Russia? And it didn't even hit. It was just coming down and skim. I mean, finally the parts fell, but it wasn't coming straight down. It was a shock wave of a horizontal glance off of the Earth and slowed down. Exploded in the air above some Russian-named city. This asteroid was 17 meters wide. Now, it blew windows out, destroyed buildings. 1,500 people went to the hospital with a 17-meter-wide asteroid that came skipping into the Earth's atmosphere. And just imagine what would have happened if it was a 78 or whatever. What did we just say it was? 68. What if it was a 68-meter asteroid traveling at, you know, multiple times the speed of sound coming in? And they didn't know that was coming. I suspect there might even be, the government might be aware of an asteroid with our number on it, which brings up the second one. They are practicing on how to divert asteroids. So if one did have our number on it, then what could they do? Well, they send, you know, some Hollywood actors up in a spaceship and go tell them to do something. What was the Armageddon? Was that what it was? Armageddon. There was a movie, Armageddon. Bruce Willis. I mean, he'll take care of it. But what they are doing, there's a binary asteroid that's not going to hit the Earth, but it's going to come close to the Earth. And so around next September, it's going to be close to the Earth. So they're sending a spacecraft up on November 24th, next month. They're going to launch a spacecraft that is going to go rendezvous with this asteroid and do a head-on collision with the moon. Now, a binary asteroid means these asteroids, there's two of them, but they're traveling together, and the moon is going around the asteroid. Now, the first time they saw a binary asteroid, they thought, this is impossible, because it's not possible for a rock pile to capture another rock pile in deep space. They were shocked. This must be a freak. They couldn't even explain it. And then they see there's tons of binary asteroids now. And the only explanation that makes any sense is Dr. Walt Brown's hydroplate theory explanation of the origin of asteroids, that they were jettisoned from the Earth in the time of the flood, as pulsating blasts went from the crust opening up and the supercritical water, the explosive energy of the supercritical water, busting up from underneath the crust, taking the walls of the crust and throwing it up into space with hypersonic velocities. And there would have been these debris piles that became the asteroid belt, the comets, and the trans-Neptunian objects. And because water was being jettisoned with it, water would have stayed in those areas, and they would have done what's called aerobraking in physics. So it would have come and slowed down the different relative velocities of that debris pile, and then come together into loosely packed rock piles. That's what asteroids and comets are. They're lightly packed debris piles. And then when the moisture goes away, there's no longer any aerobraking. There's no more atmosphere to break it. And so then you're left with a binary that just stays far apart. Now, I know this is... I am planning, for those that are interested, on the Sunday evening service, there's Brian Nickel, a mechanical engineer who's done these wonderful animations using laws of physics. I mean, and I was taking physics courses, engineering physics courses at Olympic College when I was working in the shipyard to get in. The managers wanted me to go take the courses so I could challenge the EIT exam, become an engineer, and go up to management. That's what they wanted me to do. And so I'm taking the engineering courses. I'm thinking, Lord, I feel called to the ministry. Why am I doing this? I'm loving learning the physics of this. I mean, this is amazing, you know, stuff to learn, but I feel called to ministry. But I look now, I realize he wanted me to do that so I could understand Dr. Walt Brown's hydroplate chapter and comet chapter. And I'm telling you, the things that blow secular, evolutionary-minded scientists away about what's in our heavens, comets, asteroids, and these trans-Neptunian objects, and And the reason why there's a whole bunch of trans-Neptunian objects that have the same argument of the perihelion that just blows them away, that's why they're spending millions and millions of dollars to go find Planet X, because they're trying to explain, they're trying to figure out how come it doesn't make any sense that all these orbits have their argument of the perihelion in the plane of the elliptic of the planets lined up with the sun. And Walt Brown says they're not going to find it. They're not going to find Planet X because it doesn't exist. It's all explained by the hydroplate theory and why there are trans-Neptunian objects. And if you don't get any of that, then read Brian. You'll go watch Brian Nichols' website, Brian Nichols' YouTube channel, and go through all 12 of them. And we're going to do them on Sunday nights, and we'll be able to talk about it. So, anyway, what they're going to do is they're sending this thing up next September. We'll probably be watching it from heaven. Oh, Lord, that'd be so kind, so great. But so the moon's going around, and they're going to just pound that moon. Well, when you impart the energy on the moon, because it's, you know, it's got its own little system there, it's also going to affect the mother, the bigger rock, and they're wanting to just bounce that orbit just a little bit of that binary asteroid, to see how much they can divert it from the course that it's on, to then later on figure out if they can divert the course, you know, do that as a little test case for the future. What's wrong?
That sounds risky.
Well, now, are you telling me that there's a possibility that men who think they're so smart and they actually bounce something into something that was going to miss the Earth and now it's not going to? What?
I saw it on a cartoon once, I'm pretty sure it worked.
But, so, just imagine if you're here on planet Earth and they finally tell us, because I'm sure they'll know what's going to happen way before they tell anybody. But they say, okay, here's the deal. We're going to get hit by an asteroid and the crater's going to be 1,000 miles and it's going to hit the West Coast. And, oh, by the way, all the highways are closed. You're not going to be able to leave. And just imagine. Huh?
East Coast.
East Coast. Okay. East Coast, West Coast. Wherever it is. Just think for a second. If you got told, you know, the sky looks fine. I mean, everything's fine. The weather, everything is fine. But in a week, a month, or whatever, no stopping it. We know exactly when and where this thing is going to hit, and you are going to be vaporized. Can you imagine the way people will be feeling when that happens? It's a stuff movies are made out of, that they're just not going to be able to do. Men's hearts failing them for the things that are coming upon the earth. And what if we get pummeled by a bunch of them? What's going to happen when an asteroid or something hits the water? What's going to happen? Waves. What does it say?
Wormwood
stuff. And the earth, distress of nation, perplexities, the sea and the waves roaring. What's another way that the seas and the waves could roar? Because? Earthquakes. Jesus said there's going to be earthquakes in various places and cataclysms. It is not going to be fun to be living during the tribulation period. And there's already a massive volcano going off in the Canary Islands, and people are having to be evacuated off the island because the businesses are going, and some people are speculating, because this volcanic cone is just being raised up all the way from the ocean floor, and if it sloughs off, if that cone sloughs off and falls to the ocean floor, there'll be a massive tsunami that will wipe out the East Coast, depending on how big the slough off is. And I see some fist pumping, yes. especially if it could just hit the governor's mansions. But cataclysms, we're already seeing cataclysms. We're already seeing Europe, it's not covered by the news because, again, other stuff is so much more important. It's going on in Hollywood or whatever, but Europe is almost out of natural gas. Their natural gas prices have gone up 300%. They are not going to be able to heat their homes. They are telling they are beginning to realize if this doesn't get fixed, like right now, because we've let our stocks get low in their storage locations, there's going to be people freezing to death this winter in England. And they're purposely, the devil Satan, inspiring globalists who hate people and need to depopulate, they are doing everything, including this jab, to drastically reduce the population of this world. And they can do it so easily with starvation. They can do it so easily with losing power. You lose power in a winter and everything freezes, the pipes freeze and everything, even when the power comes back on. You've got such chaos of things that are going to be happening and people dying. And they're talking about that this winter. And that could happen in America too, because there's also energy decisions being made in this country that could affect our ability to heat and have power this winter. So, and just imagine if it's coupled with, you know, men's demonic destruction of the world's infrastructure combined with God's judgment that destroys the infrastructure of the world, and it will be a time of great trouble. So, no matter how Jesus actually fulfills these things, make it clear that global cataclysms will be unprecedented and immediately precede the second coming of the Lord. And then, man, we didn't finish. Luke 21:29 on page 16. We've already covered the gathering of the elect in a previous study, so it's very important though, and the other Matthew and Mark, so we'll just skip that. Matthew 21:29. We'll read it, maybe cover it a little bit more next week. Then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. Fig tree and all the trees. See, now look at Luke. Matthew, now learn the parable from the fig tree, period. Now learn, Mark, now learn this parable from the fig tree, period. Luke spoke to them, look at the fig tree and all trees. Now that's kind of important. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourself that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things beginning, these things happening, when you see these things happening, Matthew says beginning to happen, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not, but will by no means pass away. And so what does that mean? I mean, there's been just huge books written and speculation about the timing of the second coming, the rapture and everything else because of this verse, because this is the party line when I was a young Christian and Jesus coming back immediately, is that when the fig tree is representative of Israel. So when you see the fig tree budding, Israel becoming a nation, 1948, then know that that generation will not pass until all these things come to pass. The end of the tribulation, then what's a generation? Well, I like 30 years because that'll make it so that we can write books about disappearing in 70. And so the big deal, generation's 30 years, 1948, 30 years, 78, when's the rapture? You know, then you back up 7 years, which is not even true there because there's going to be rapture and then there has to be some time for global government to form before the tribulation starts. But that, and so people were saying, wow, this is it. And actually 30 years got turned into 40 years because 30 years passed. So then it's got to be 40 years. So now it's 88. So then 88 reasons why 1988 is going to be the second coming of Jesus, which means the rapture's, that was the title of a book. And then that passed, and fig tree wasn't really budded until the Jews had Jerusalem. That wasn't until 67. We start all over again. 67 plus 30 years. Oh, 67 plus 40 years. So all that speculation when Jesus might have just been saying, you know, look at a tree. When you see it budding, you know this, you know summer's coming. When you see all these things starting to happen, do you see any other things starting to happen? When you see these things beginning to happen, starting to happen, then know that all of these things are going to take place. That generation, the generation that sees the formation of all the infrastructure and stuff that is going to be making this able to happen is not going to pass away until all these things take place. And I think that's one view. And the other view I had that I'll take just a couple minutes to explain is the generation is Ganea. And the Thayer's Bible Dictionary said Ganea can mean a people. It can mean a people. And Jesus might have been saying, I'm telling you, this generation, this people, who people would he have been talking about? The Jews. I'm telling you, no matter all this tribulation, all the stuff I've just told you, Jerusalem's going to be surrounded by armies. Know that its desolation is near. The Jews thinking that they're going to be destroyed. Any Jew that's during the Holocaust is thinking we're dead. We're dead. We're going to be completely gone. If Jesus was really saying Ganea, meaning generation of people, not time, then a Christian Jew would have said, you know, we're not going to be annihilated. I'm telling you, this generation shall not pass away. The Jews will not cease to exist until all these things take place. Because all these things can't take place if the Jews don't exist. If the Jews are not here, the tribulation period, and everything that we're reading in Daniel chapter 12, Daniel chapter 9, Revelation, all of Revelation, Luke, Matthew, Mark, they can't happen literally what Jesus is talking about unless the Jews are here. The Jews are here. They're in the land. They're ready to build a temple, all these other things. And so I really started teaching that until I ran into Tommy Ice at a pre-trib rapture conference, and he was having a debate with Hank Canegraff, a preterist, and Mark Hitchcock. And I go, why didn't Mark Hitchcock use the argument of that? He go, well, because it's not true. I go, Thayer's Dictionary. He say, well, Thayer's Dictionary is wrong. So, and that was kind of a bummer for me. So I don't really know. And that's written up in the notes here too, that interaction. All we know is all these things, you know, heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will not pass away. And God wrote these things through these apostles for us to know. He wants us to know. He wants to, and he wanted us to think that what he says he means. There's going to be an Antichrist. There's going to be cataclysms coming on this earth. There's going to be the people are going to follow a global government. There's going to be persecution against the Jews and the tribulation saints. There's going to be all this chaos happening, and he wants us to know it. Why? So that we get all freaked and go find ourselves in a bomb shelter someplace? No, so that we could just realize this Jesus that's reflected in his word, he has a plan for us, and there's millions of souls that don't, they haven't figured it out, and they don't even want to listen in most cases, but we're here to be able to help them get on the boat. You know, these disaster movies, where they have the ark, you know, they have some way that the people are going to survive. It's so applicable to us. That we know there's an ark. We're telling them, you know, disaster is coming. Not an asteroid. We're talking death. Death is coming to you. And we need to be ready for that. And are you ready for that? And we can be through faith in Jesus Christ. So take heed to yourself. We'll pick up at chapter 21, verse 34 next week. Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighted down. Do we feel like now's the time to go party, rebel against God, seek after things of sin instead of the things of spirit? No, let's not do that. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you just help us to not just hear it, but be doers, to allow us to really have compassion on those that are still walking in the dark, when yet they want to be, most just want to walk in the darkness, Lord. Help us to walk in the light, not join them, be different, and to have compassion on them and to share with them, Lord. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, with all thy heart, and lean not
basically it's saying, and that's a verse in Scripture, I mean it's Scripture, that just he'll give you that very life that you had when you were born again. I mean, when you're born the first time, your navel and the life that he gives us and the marrow, which is life. The life is in the blood. The marrow makes the blood. His word is our life blood in walking with him. God bless you. Keep you in his care till we can fellowship again.